Let me say it's nice to be with you again in the ministry of the Word of God. I invite you to turn with me to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. And we want to begin our reading at verse 12. Isaiah 28 verse 12. God is speaking through the prophet to the nation of Israel, and he says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing.' Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward, and be broken, and snared, and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, 'We have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through it, shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hidden ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. For the time that it goeth forth, from the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over. By day and by night it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim, and shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act." Now may the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you again for the word of God. We thank you for its warnings. We thank you for its refuge. And we thank you for the purpose of warnings, that they are given in order that they may not be experienced. And we pray that this may be so today, as we sound forth the gospel which declares, "Whoso believeth hath life, but he that believeth not shall not see life, for the wrath of God abideth on him." That's a genuine warning that men flee to Christ. O Father, so speak through us, that souls may rest upon that sure foundation which you have set as a chief cornerstone for those who trust him. Hear us in this. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart indeed be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Isaiah chapter 28 is a chapter of predicted judgment upon the nation of Israel. And It ends with the ways of God as seen in the parable of the farmer in the closing verses of the chapter. One of the most interesting portions is a parable that is given at the close of Isaiah 28. It is one of those most interesting parables of the Bible. I call it the parable of the plowman. But we want to consider God's ways as found in verse 20 in particular, the ways of God. And in verse 20, you have one of those strange verses in the Bible. It says, "For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he may wrap himself in it." This is what God is saying to the people. Isaiah primarily was a prophet to the kingdom of Judah in the south. But here the message is directed to the northern kingdom of Israel. They had made a covenant with death, and our text calls it a league with hell. And you have that in verse 15, and you have it again in verse 18. This was a brazen confidence that the kingdom of Israel placed not in God, but in human ability, their ability to make a covenant with Syria. Their human ability, their political ways, they thought if we only have the right politics, then our problems will be solved. But the problems are not solved by right politics, for the problem and the heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. Now, in contrast to what Israel was doing to try to solve their problems by their own ingenuity, by working out their own ways, we have God's answer to their problems as found in the foundation stone, that solid foundation that he laid in Zion. And that is a great text, verse 16. For God here, with a little word therefore, he calls their attention and he says, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold," here is a word of exclamation. Take time to listen to what I'm saying. "Behold, I lay in Zion a place where it was laid for a foundation, a stone. And it's a chief cornerstone, and he that believeth shall not make haste." These are tremendous words. And if we contrast verse 16 with verse 20, we understand what verse 20 is talking about. Here in verse 16, God is saying, "I've laid a stone. I've given you a place of refuge. I've given you something upon which to believe, upon which to repose. But you prefer your own way to my way. Your own way is going to fail. Your own way is like a bed that is too short and covers that are too narrow. You can never get any comfort. You'll never get any rest. But that which I have provided gives both comfort and rest." That's what God is saying here in the text. Now the emphasis here is on God who placed the stone. This stone is not a stone placed by man. It has been placed by God. It is a distinguished stone. And it is distinguished because it is called a cornerstone. I was here when the cornerstone of this building was laid. It was a great Lord's Day when this cornerstone was laid. It was the day of the dedication. The building was already built. But in those days, they didn't lay a cornerstone after the building was built. They laid a cornerstone at the beginning of the building because the whole of the building was squared to the cornerstone. And Peter, in his first epistle, he reminds us of that which is written here in Isaiah 28. And also that which is written in Psalm 118. For in Psalm 118 we read, "The stone which the builders rejected." Not the wrecking crew, but the builders. "The same is made the head of the corner." The builders rejected the stone. And the stone that he's speaking about is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be sure of that because of what he's quoted. For he says, "He that believeth on him shall not make haste. And in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 10, Paul uses this, and Romans 10 says, he that believeth shall not be ashamed. Now, what is the difference between being ashamed and making haste? Israel as a nation made haste to fulfill their political ambitions by making a covenant with death and a league with hell. And in so doing, they were ashamed of what they did. But he who believes in Christ, who puts repose and flees to him as a refuge, is never ashamed. I have never met a person who has truly believed in Christ, who has been saved as we sang this morning, saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. I've never met a person who was ashamed that they had trusted Christ and they had been saved by his matchless grace. Never, never, never. It's the greatest experience of life. But I've met other people who have had their refuge on other things, who, when it came time to die, and in the throes of the last breath, they had no hope, and they slipped into eternity the way they had lived. God's word cries out to us this morning, don't be like the builders who refused the headstone of the corner. For God hath highly exalted his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he bids us take refuge in him. Now, the best thing that you read is, he that believeth on him shall not make haste. We don't need to get all excited. We have laid our heads upon that foundation that God has laid in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't lay your head anywhere else. Now, shall not make haste. Why shall the person who rests in Christ not make haste? Because they who choose this way, they choose for themselves a way of life that is full of repose and full of rest. Now, with this before us, let us, on the other hand, examine the contrast in verse 20. You see, this is on the one side, this is God's provision. Linked with the provision of God are man's own ways. They made their own covenant. They thought that by their political finagling, they could make a covenant and that they would endure as a nation, but the judgment was sure. And God says in verse 21 that judgment is a strange work. There's that verse that you hear people quote occasionally, that judgment is a strange work of God. But in due time, God brings forth the judgment that he has promised and that he has predicted, for God keeps his word. David Livingston, that great man of God, said, our God is an honorable gentleman. He always keeps his word. And while judgment is a strange work of God, they who do not pay attention will come under the judgment of God. Had an opportunity the other afternoon to speak to a couple, an older couple who've been attending our meeting. And it was this man's brother-in-law who I had the privilege of meeting a number of years ago before he died. He died of cancer. And every time I tried to see him and talk with him about his soul, there were always a number of people in the room with him. He's a very popular fellow. And people that were in this organization and that organization and another organization were always there. And I knew if I'm ever going to get to this fellow, I'm going to have to get there all by when we're just two of us, he and myself, one and one. For then a person is not ashamed to express the desires of their heart and what's really on the inside. And I began to examine, why do I get there at the wrong time? And I started praying about it. And I was going in the afternoon, about 3 o'clock. And I thought, I'm going to go to see him in the morning. I'm going to make a morning visit to him. And of course, my mornings are always busy, usually, especially in winter time when this was, because I have Bible classes in the morning on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But after Bible class one morning, I went directly to Bill's house. As I sat in the chair across from him, I said, Bill, I'd like to tell you something about myself. He looked at me and I said, this is it. I'm as sure of going to heaven as I am that I'm sitting here. Did you hear what I said? I told Bill that I was as sure of going to heaven as I was that I was sitting there. And Bill burst out weeping. And he was a big guy. And he was strong. He was still strong. When he shook your hand, you knew you had a hold of a hand. Oh, he cried out, if I only could be sure. If I only could know that I'm going to heaven. For he knew he was dying. And that gave me the privilege of taking him to a little verse in John. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath, oh, I love that word, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but he's passed from death unto life. And judgment may be the strange work of God. But beloved, those who have come for refuge and have laid upon the foundation that God has laid, our Lord Jesus, we have a sure foundation, will not come into judgment, because there in the cross on Calvary's hill, Christ bore the judgment for us. He died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And because of his work on the cross, for me, judgment is past, and I can sing with joy Wesley's great hymn, no condemnation now I dread, Jesus my all in thee I find, alive in him my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. Beloved, this is what our text is contrasting. He that believeth shall not make haste, but he who goes his own way and rests in his own abilities and tries to do it his way, that person is lying on a bed that is too short and on covers that are too narrow. That's what our text is saying. Now, God so made man that there are two things that are essential to each of us for our well-being. We need sleep and we need clothing. There isn't a one of us that can go without sleep for any extended period of time. Sleep is essential even to our very existence. And clothing is needful for our comfort. And in some climates, it is absolutely necessary to the very existence of man. Now in the animal creation, God so made the animals, they grow their own clothing that covers their own backs. They fashion their own garments. And this teaches me something. It teaches me that it is man who needs to be covered and have a covering in order that he may be warm. You see, what clothing and rest is to the body, salvation and the person of Christ are to the soul. We need rest for our souls. That is pictured in sleep. That's what our Lord Jesus meant when he said, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We need a bed upon which we may repose, and God has laid in Zion a sure foundation. We may rest on him. The soul needs covering. I need that robe of God's righteousness that only God can give. And as in the story of the prodigal son, when the son returned, the father said, put on him the best robe. And the best robe is the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ that is imputed to us when we believe. Here God likens Israel and their activity to a people who make for themselves a bed that is too short. They can't stretch on it and really sleep. And coverings that are so narrow, they're cold. I don't know if this ever happened to you. The reverse of this text happened to me on one occasion. Only once in my life, I stayed in a home. There were a young man who came up to the Youth Congress at Greenwood Hills when I was the director. He married and they were living in another state from where I was, not in North Carolina. So you can't imagine who it was. And they just needed to have me over in their home. Well, they put me up on a little cot that was too narrow. I don't know, do you ever sleep on a cot that was too narrow? Oh boy, it would be like sleeping on a church pew or something like that. But then not only that, but the covers were too short. And it was cold. And I tell you, I was miserable that whole night. And it was late when we got to bed because there were a lot of things to talk about. And more than that, the next morning I had to speak at 6 o'clock at a breakfast. And I didn't get much rest that night. And I have a feeling for this text. But this text says that those who don't rest on the foundation that God has laid in the person of Christ is like lying on a bed that is too short and the covers are too narrow. You're exposed to the eye of a holy God. Now I want you to think with me this morning, first of all, concerning a narrow bed. This is a mean condition to be in. Believe me, it can be very disturbing. In the world in which we live, beds are man's own invention. When I was a little boy, and we read the Bible stories in our home, my parents were believers, and the Lord told that man in Mark chapter 2, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And in my bedroom, I had a bed with a high oak backboard, and I thought, how did that man ever pick up his bed and walk? Boy, I'm sure it took a few men to get my bed into my room. And God told that man to pick up his bed and walk. But when I was in Nigeria back in 69, I understood what that meant. Because when we got to the Niger River and we waited for the ferry, there had been people waiting there to get on the ferry for 3 days. In that mosquito-infested place. And the mud was about 18, 20 inches deep. You can't imagine mud until you see the road that leads to the ferry at the Niger River. But there are people who had just, they had a little pallet, just a little reed mat that they just rolled out and they lie down on it. So you see, beds are man's own invention. But you see, it's something that man has made. And some seek to make various kinds of beds. They're there who seek a bed of gold. And their strivings in this life are to be rich. They are like the rich farmer of Luke 12, who pulled down his barns and built greater barns. And when they were filled, he said to his soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You have much goods laid up for many years. I'm all set for retirement. I have it made. But God said, you're a fool. Your bed is too short. The covers are too narrow. You're a fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Upon what are you going to repose then? You have nothing laid up for your soul. Everything you have laid up is for your body. Since beds are man's own invention, my friend, you may have everything laid up for your body, but nothing for your soul. But then there are those who seek to lie on a bed of ambition and fame. And oh, how we are drawn today by various people who are glorified before our eyes. If I could only have this or that. If I could only be this or that. If I could only be a good basketball player. If I could only be a good tennis player. Be able to do more than just put a little weak shot back over the net. Especially when you play lazy. If I could only be that, oh, I'd be something. The problem is we get too soon old and too late smart, as the Dutchman says. Our world comes apart for the bed is too short, too short-lived. We have a little praise, and then we want more praise, and we want more praise. And the world today is living for praise, but the bed is too short. The praise of men will never amount to anything in the presence of a holy God. And it's a holy God that we must do with, friends, in that day. God says, listen to me. I have laid in Zion a chief cornerstone, he who rests on him will never be ashamed. He will never need to make haste. Are you resting on him? But then there are those who make a bed of gold. There are those who make a bed of ambition and fame. There are those who make a bed of pleasure. Give me the delights of this world. I want to live for today. Permit me to fellowship in my peers. Oh, I feel far more comfortable with people who are my own age and who think the way I do than I do with other people. The book of Proverbs has something to say to you. For the wicked woman in the book of Proverbs says with a smile, stolen waters are sweet. Bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But the word of God reminds us in the book of Proverbs, afterward, it stingeth like an adder and it biteth like a serpent. So you see, the bed is too short. But now, that's for the person who has no repose upon the foundation that God has laid. But take a look at the believer. Take a good look at him. The Christian, he who believes will not make haste. A Christian is not necessarily poor. And a Christian may not be necessarily rich. If he is rich, it is God's will for him. If he is poor, it is the Father's will. And Paul could write and say, I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. And I read, godliness with contentment is great gain. The person who rests upon the Savior can leave their all to him, knowing that my God is able to supply all our needs according to his riches. There is nothing else in this world that I could wish for if I have Christ. Why? If I have Christ, I'm in delightful communion with God. Furthermore, I know that my Redeemer liveth. This is a firm foundation that the believer enjoys. I have assurance in heaven, for I have been begotten unto a living hope by the resurrection from the dead. I have a genuine inheritance awaiting for me, and I am complete in Christ now. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in him. I have all that I need for time and eternity. God says, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Here's a foundation stone. He who rests on him, he who believes on him will not make haste. He who believes on him will never be ashamed. Do you believe on him this morning? You see, the bed is short. The person who doesn't believe has a very short bed. Oh, my friend, trust in nothing other than the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's consider for a moment the narrow covers. The narrow covers. There are some people who think that they have themselves covered when all they have is a nightcap. Are you listening to me? There are some people who think that they're covered when all that they have is a nightcap. They have their mind set in one direction. They probably have learned and heard one thing from the Word of God, and that's all they think about. And they forget about everything else in Scripture. There are people, friends, who have done this with the precious doctrine of the eternal security of the believer. And I like the doctrine of eternal security. I love it. But beloved, let us not be long on security and short on continuance. For the Word of God teaches us the perseverance of the saints, that they who are saved continue walking with the Lord. So writes the writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 3. And we need to take the warnings of Scripture at their face value. And our Lord in John 10 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. That's continuance. And I can't extend security to anyone who is not walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ. For walking in fellowship with Him and continuance in the faith is the proof that you have a new heart, that you have been born of God. You see, the covers can be far more narrow than you think. Many a person, I'm afraid, has only a nightcap. Let me illustrate this. One day I was working with two men when I was in the electrical field. We're building this new home, and these two carpenters were working in the basement. One's name was Minnick, the other's name was Charles Schaefer. I'll never forget these fellows. This one fellow, he used pretty rough language, and he used a little dirty language, too. And of course, when I got to the basement, I started talking about the things of the Lord, and this one fellow, he was real happy to talk about spiritual things. And the other fellow joined in, the fellow who used the dirty language. He joined in and he said, oh, there he goes to church. They don't even believe in eternal security. I said, well, you don't, do you? I said, you don't believe that, do you? Oh, yes. And then he quoted John 10. I said, I would have never thought you were saved. I just listened to your language not too long ago. John 10 says that they who are saved continue. My friend, do you just have a nightcap? You see, the covers can be too narrow. There are sinners who think that they're covered when all they have is a nightcap. And then there's some sinners who think that they're clothed when they've woven for themselves a pair of slippers. You know, and the slippers cover the feet and our activity. Oh, I go here and I go there. I belong to this organization or that. My friend, I'm worried sometimes about the organizations that people join. The various, I usually put it like this. You can belong to the Elks, the Eagles, the Masons, the Moose, and the Goose. You can belong to them all. I remember being in the hospital. I wanted a witness to a man in this bed here, and there's a man here. The man in this bed wasn't there, so I talked to the fellow who was there. And he went to a church in the city that preached the gospel. But I'll tell you, his rest was not in the message of the gospel. His message was in the ring that was on his finger. For it emphasized organization that he belonged to. And he thought that because of all the good things he did, and this organization, whose emblem was on his finger, secured him a place in heaven. And I couldn't talk to him about the Savior. He was more interested in the ring on his finger than the Savior that God has sent as a sure repose for his people. My friend, upon what are you depending today? Oh, let me ask you in the name of the Lord, is a bed too short? Are the covers too narrow? Then there's some sinners who weave a nightcap. There are those who weave for themselves a pair of slippers. But then there are others who say, oh, I just like to stay home and think. Oh, I don't need the fellowship with those people. You see, and they can pick holes in every group that you can find. They know so much, they can pick holes in the Presbyterians, they can pick holes in the Baptists, they can pick holes in every group. Oh my. They have a religion of holes, picking holes in other people's religion. And it becomes popular. But my friend, we need the best robe. And that robe is the one provided by our Lord. It is a robe of righteousness. It completely covers. It completely warms. It is totally accepted by God. This is a robe that we need. And this is a robe that God has provided. And this righteousness that our blessed Lord imputes to those who believe is that righteousness that he wrought in his earthly life, as he perfectly obeyed the Father's will. And in his earthly life, our Lord wrought righteousness, and then he died under the judgment of our sin. And when we come to him as sinners, when we repose on that foundation that God has laid, that very righteousness that was wrought out by our Lord Jesus Christ, is placed to our account. And we can say with David, blessed is the man whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Well, we have to stop. But let me just say a few things very quickly. What a glorious portion it is to have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. The soul can rest in that full atonement of our blessed Lord. He alone wrought it out on the cross on Calvary's Hill, and he said it is finished. We don't have to add anything to it. And we need not fear that strange work of the Lord, his judgment, because we have tasted of his love and of his grace. I have a question for you, my friend. On what kind of a bed are you reposing this morning? Is it too short? And the covers too narrow? You see, it's one thing to read Isaiah 28 about Israel. And we can read about Israel in Isaiah 28 and what they did. But what about me? What about you? What kind of a bed do you have? Are you resting where God rests? In the work of Christ? Is your foundation secure? In other words, are you a wise man this morning? Or are you foolish? The wise man would say, I want to be saved. And that today. The foolish man, if you realize that your bed is too short and the covers are too narrow, you'll go out the way you came in, but only worse. For you'll know better and do nothing about it. Don't be foolish. If you're here without Christ, come to Christ. And those of us who are saved, we rejoice in knowing that we're on a sure foundation and that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, I think we should sing a hymn in closing. 310 in our hymn books. 310, listen to the words of this hymn. Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want thee forever to dwell in my soul. Cast down every idol. Cast out every foe. Now wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. My friend, this can be your portion today. Or if you're here without Christ, will you come to him today? Let's sing the first and last, 310. Let us stand and sing as our brother Bobby leads. I'll remain right here at the front if someone would like to have a chat. Give us the privilege of opening the scriptures and showing you the Word of God that tells you that you can be delivered from sin and know Christ and have eternal life. Now let's pray. Our Father, we commend to Thee the ministry of the Word of God. Deliver anyone who is here from leaving a foolish person, reposing on a bed that is too short, and trying to cover themselves with covers that will never suffice. Oh, instead, our Father, may there be a genuine repose upon the person and work of Thy dear Son, whom Thou hast raised from the dead and given glory. So we dismiss this